Ash, you put it there?
He did.
I did.
Why do you add things to notes as if they wrote them? It's killing me. Put a different color on it or something.
He made it all caps.
How? That's the sign that he made it all caps? People type all caps all the time.
He's yelling at you.
Alright, welcome to Rated NA, episode number 96 for the website nerdappropriate.com, where we talk about all things nerdy, like comics and movies and games. And today it's mostly games and maybe a movie, but that's about it. I'm back, everybody. How's it going?
Hey!
Hey.
Back. Back again. Matt is back. Tell a friend.
From the icy, from the icy tundra that is New York, I am actually in Florida now.
Have you recovered from your colitis?
Yeah, my colitis. I might as well have had colitis. I have a gross story about driving home, but
Uh-oh.
We have someone extra special with us today.
We do.
Too.
We have a special guest. We've got Clayton Donnan today with us, who's actually a friend who made a game.
Oh god.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yes.
Yay.
So you're technically now what they call an indie dev. How does that feel?
I need to go buy a hat. Jason Mraz or some sort of like 30s cap.
Yeah,
maybe definitely. I'll bring the bowler back. That would be good.
There you go. Yeah, that works.
That's hot.
I just really quickly, have you seen Indie Game the movie yet?
Yeah, I have. Actually, it's heartwarming to me now.
Good. I bet it is. We'll talk about that more when we're talking about your game. I just wanted to know if you've seen it.
You seem too upbeat and happy to be an indie game developer. You need like a beard and more angst.
I should I should cut more, I guess. But you know, I was up till like 2 last night, and then I got up this morning at 6. So, it's just still busy.
Have you ever said, "If my game doesn't sell, I'm gonna kill myself"? Did you ever say that?
Oh, please!
I totally should. I hear that. That gets a good reaction out of people.
Let's do the rundown.
With that, on today's podcast. We're going to quickly go over our PAX news. The PAX East schedule was released this week as well, including all of the panels. In our reviews and discussions, we're going to talk to Clayton about his game Killing Social. Ash is going to talk about Mass Effect 3 Citadel in a relatively spoiler-free fashion. Matt possibly played or installed SimCity. I don't know which one is the greater achievement. And Ash went to a Gears of War launch event at the Microsoft store here in Orlando. Hillary and I played Tomb Raider, and Matt saw Oz the Great and Powerful. And in our Naquato this week, in honor of SimCity, or I guess in defiance of SimCity, what would the name of your metropolis be?
That was good.
I still can't think of an answer.
That question.
It was a bad question.
Hard question.
Welcome that was back. When I was still excited about SimCity.
Yeah. I'm still excited about the question. I just hope I have an answer by the end.
Oh, yeah.
You know what's funny is that we talked yesterday, and Scott and I didn't have names yet, and I still don't have a name, and you still don't have a name.
Mm-mm.
So this does not bode well for us.
Yeah.
You guys, I wrote it down. Podcasts, I wrote my name down because I forgot.
I have an idea.
Yeah.
Okay,
please
good.
Show up, Matt.
Oh, burn. That was good.
Oh, boy.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah. So, how's everybody doing?
Oh, yeah.
Who's going to go first? Let's ask Matt. Matt, what have you been doing? You have probably the most news.
I didn't actually have colitis, which is, I know, a shock to everyone when Ash makes up a sickness for whoever's off the... One day you're not going to be on the podcast, Ash, and we are going to make the worst thing ever for you.
I know.
It's going to be true.
What happens if one of us actually got dysentery? That would be like the boy who cried wolf. That would be terrible.
Yeah.
Is that what colitis is? Dysentery?
No, but
no.
It's one of the other ones we use all the time.
it's like a butt infection. That's how I think about it.
Oh, that makes so much sense.
Colonitis, colitis. I don't know. That's my medical training right there.
Fair enough.
Nice.
But I loaded 3 neurotic pets in a truck with all of my stuff Beverly Hillbilly style and moved back to Florida this week.
Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back.
Yeah.
For good reasons, everything's good, but we're back here. We're looking for a place. But
Yeah, so I had a cat vomit three times in the car while driving. Ooh. That was fun. We attempted to stay. The entire state of Georgia was hotels booked. Like, could not find a single hotel from South Carolina exit 33 to Jacksonville, Florida, which is like a solid 4-hour drive.
Was there a NASCAR event going on?
Yeah, you know, that was the joke we kept. We have no idea. Every hotel we went to, we were like, what is going on? And like, the funniest one was we were just south of Savannah, and this girl at one of the hotels was like, well, if you can make it, exit like 18 in Georgia is Brunswick, Georgia. They've got a bunch of hotels and there's literally nothing there. They have to have open hotel rooms. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, we'll keep, you know, busting our ass and trying to get down there. We get down there completely booked all the way through.
Wow.
Really?
The worst part is, once you get to that point, you're like, oh man, we could just push through it, right?
Well, that's what happened. We hit Jacksonville and it was 3:30 in the morning. And I was like, I'm not paying like $200 to sleep for 4 hours in Jacksonville when I'm 2 hours from my house at that point. So I don't know how I did it. Like, I pushed through somehow I drove 19 hours in one day. I got up at 10 o'clock in the morning and got to the house at 5:30 in the morning. So it was brutal, but
amazing. Did you make your wife stay up with you? Like, that's a thing.
That's an impossible task. So,
oh yeah.
that is just not a feasible. That's not a, like, that'd be like, did I also get $1 million while driving? Like,
no. See, Dave always makes me like stay awake. If like he'll fall asleep if I'm driving, which is fantastic.
We can't our wives do anything. Anything.
What is up with that? No, like seriously, I need to figure out what contract your wives are on, and I need to get on that contract because I have to stay awake.
I mean, to her credit, she did a much better job than when we drove up to New York of staying awake, which I think she slept the entire 22 hours up to New York. She was awake for most of it at this time, but yeah, it was whatever. So we're here, we're doing stuff now, hanging out.
Cool.
Awesome.
Being fun times.
That's awesome. You're back.
Yeah. So that's me. How about you, Hillary?
Ooh. Ooh. Let's see. So again, like I always say, I'm going to say that I've been working a lot. Yep. I'm working a lot. Seen some things. You know. Yeah. So I'm working. Obviously, my day job's going well. My BioWare stuff is amazing. Can't wait to talk about that in a little bit. I read 2 books this week. Both are like well over 500 pages. So jeez. I'm pretty proud of myself for that.
You're a machine.
I am. I'm totally a reading machine. And then I started playing Tomb Raider, which I'm so excited to talk about later. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Reading, cool. Playing games, hanging out with friends, working 2 jobs, you know, same old.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
Nice.
How about you guys? How about you, Ash?
We'll see. Same thing. Working a lot. Had a good week, though. Good week at work. No complaints, really. I do have a funny story. You ever get on Xbox Live and like every once in a while there's that asshole that's just like all this noise is going on through their headset and you're like, what is going on at their house? And like, why won't they shut the fuck up?
Is it breathing or just like ambient
noise? Just like noise, like just stuff going on and like people
screaming
yelling.
Children.
Yeah. And you're like, what is going on? Well, that was actually me today. I had my Kinect plugged in and I didn't realize my mic through the Kinect was on. Oh. So I was playing Mass Effect multiplayer and I was just like, I was awake and I was like pounding coffee in a great mood. And my wife came out and I started singing Stone Temple Pilots at the top of my lungs. I was like, I am spinning like a rose that somebody gave me. And she goes, you're going to make me kill myself. And so I'm like laughing and carrying on. We're like playing with the dogs and just like being ridiculous in the morning. And then I look at the party menu and my mic keeps lighting up. And I look down at my headset and I'm like, shit, my headset's off. And I look up at the stupid Kinect sensor and it's been broadcasting this like mayhem to all these strangers in the party who probably wanted to like end my life.
Yeah.
So that was kind of funny this morning.
Nobody said anything to you, huh?
Not really. They probably muted me as soon as as soon as verse 2 of Stone Temple Pilots came through. They're like, we need this guy to show up.
I would have left you on. I just would have listened.
I would have totally made fun of you.
I'm an STP fan. I'll take it.
There we go.
Yeah.
Other than that, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts lately. I haven't really talked about it on here, but I listen to a lot of the Indoor Kids, which is on the Nerdist Network. And I'm loving that podcast. I mean, I still listen to all my other podcasts, but I drive so damn much that I have to continuously like find new stuff or else I'll exhaust my like reserves of podcasts.
Right.
So
I have the same situation.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've been listening to that and that's been a lot of fun. And this week has pretty much just been Citadel for me. No big gaming news. And of course we've been doing some other stuff with the show and the site, which has been a lot of fun too, but mainly just podcasts and a little bit of gaming. And that leaves Scott, and then we'll put Clayton last because he's the guest.
Cool. Well, I've also been playing Mass Effect 1. Yeah.
I watched that too.
I read your
I am happy to announce that I have gotten 100% of the achievements in Mass Effect.
Gross.
1.
That is gross.
Yay.
Yeah. Can you believe it?
No, I can't.
It's crazy. I got a character to level 60. I beat the game on insanity. Got all of the ability and squad member achievements. So I'm feeling pretty good. I really feel like I accomplished something in life this week.
My favorite part of you playing Mass Effect 1 is I came over. It was like right after I got in town and he was playing and he was on like a planet somewhere driving the goddamn Mako around for 15 hours.
Yeah.
And I realized how horribly proportioned the Mako is to the people that get in and out of the Mako. It's like ridiculous. My brain somehow processed that to make sense at the time when I was playing it. And like now I looked at it and I'm like, why are they taller than the Mako? That doesn't even like. And then the body of it's really thin. Like, where are they all laying down next to each other? Like,
yeah, they lay down flat on their stomachs in the Mako and then just fire that turret.
Like an 1860s slave ship.
That's why it's so hard to drive because they're just laying down. You know,
they use their feet to like turn it left and right.
Yes, I love the Mako. I enjoy.
Also likes punching himself in the face.
Yeah.
No, the Mako was great. Like the potential behind the Mako was awesome. I really miss that. I was hoping that they'd bring some of that back for 3, because
really,
here's why. It wasn't the Mako that was really the problem. I think it was the fact that they just basically took some terrain maps and threw them out there and then dropped a few.
It's brutal.
And then dropped a few like pre-made structures on them. And then didn't give you enough and then said, just drive all the way around. If this I don't know
if you guys, I mean, Scott, you remember because you just played it, but I swear trying to climb hills in that thing.
Oh God.
You have to climb them sideways. It's like, here's a vertical mountain, but you need to get to the top of it. So figure that out.
No, I would always try to climb the highest peak and then throw the Mako off.
Is this mountain climbable? You won't know till you get to the top.
You have to zigzag your way up the mountain to climb anything. It's great. So
just a little bit of like design and a lathe tool would have just like made that so much, you know, so much better.
Yeah. I mean, I love it. And for anyone that's interested, I wrote an article for Nerd Appropriate, the website, that you can read and live vicariously through me in my what should be the very, very final playthrough ever for me of Mass Effect 1.
Mm.
Yep.
Did you mention who you're romancing?
Oh, it's always Liara.
Well, yeah.
It's always Liara.
Yeah, I mean,
I gotta be Liara. Come on.
See, like, I'm kind of I'm invested in her because I would like to try to romance Tali in 2 and 3, but I just can't bring myself to do it because Liara got me through the insanity playthrough at the end, so I feel like I owe her.
And she becomes a Shadow Broker.
Little something something.
Yeah, and come on, it's Allie Hillis. What are you gonna do? I can't turn my back on her.
Yeah.
So that's Mass Effect 1, and in addition to that, I've also been playing Tomb Raider, which I cannot stop playing, so I can't wait to talk about it.
So good.
With Hillary later. So with that, let's talk to our special guest.
Yeah.
What's going on, Clayton?
Working. That's it. Sadly. Cool. It's so sad. I'm reading a little bit. I'm a teacher as my day job, and I'm reading every day. We have this 20 minutes of sustained silent reading or whatever.
That's
amazing. I've been reading the last book of the Aragon series. And it's okay. I got like 200 pages left or so.
I couldn't actually make it through that. I read like Brisinger and all of those other books, but I couldn't make it through the last one. Kudos to you.
Yeah, well, let's not go be too excited. I about put it down, and I am basically forced to read it. So yeah. I was like, okay, we'll just keep going. But you're right. It really slows down. And it's been so long since I've read the other two or three, mm-hmm. actually. I'm like, I don't know how much I care about this.
Yeah. I totally cared at the end of the third book. And then as soon as I got the fourth book, I'm like, it's been too long.
That first book felt like a novelty book to me, like, because it was written by somebody who was really young, you know, and you read it and you were kind of like, oh, this is kind of awesome. Somebody, I think we were like 13, right, at the time when you wrote it. So that you're like, oh, that's really awesome. Wrote it at the age of 13, and you read it and you're like, yeah, it reads kind of like a 13-year-old wrote this book, you know, with a good editor or something. And then I got to the second one and the novelty for me just kind of wore off. I was like, I don't really care about this. No, I didn't get into it at all.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it drags. And the fourth book definitely drags in the middle.
It does.
But I don't know. After this, I'm going to try and read The Great Gatsby, because I never had to read that.
That's before the stylized movie comes out.
Yeah. I love Baz Luhrmann, so I think that would be cool that I actually maybe know what's going on beforehand.
Yeah,
a little
sure.
bit.
Cool.
It's a good one.
That's it. Working on my game.
Nice. So, you know what else we're working on?
What's that, Harry?
I waited.
News.
Scott's like, damn it. You don't have to do that.
So, I'm gonna hand this over to Ash, but we're working on putting together the party for PAX.
Yay.
Yeah. So we are having a pre-PAX party Thursday evening. And like we said last week, we can't tell you exactly where it is yet because we don't want just hordes of fans tearing at our clothes and like pulling our hair and trying to smell us and stuff. So what you have to do is, if you don't know where the party is, first of all, it's a totally casual, laid back event. There's no like dress code. There's no official list or anything like that. But it is essentially invite only. So if you shoot me an email, ash@nerdappropriate.com. I will more than likely give you the location and the time, and we'll all be there. I think Clayton will be there. Our friends from Recent Transmission will be there, and some special guests will be there, and it'll just be a nice, fun way to start off the weekend.
It's a mixer. It's a sort of like a pre-gathering. Collect yourself, just hang out, have a good time, talk to people.
Yeah.
I was going to say that if there is a time to smell us, probably the night before PAX starts is the one to go ahead and get that done.
Yeah, if you want to breathe us in, then Thursday night's the night.
Yeah.
Because after that,
it's going to be cool. Just going to be hanging out, having fun.
Strippers.
Whoa, hey.
What?
Whoa.
Who said that?
We didn't mention that part. That's the secret guest. The secret guests are a whole lot of strippers. Just kidding.
Male. I hope you got some male ones, too.
Yeah, no, they're all male strippers.
They're all
male.
Oh,
good. Hooray.
Hooray.
Vorcha.
Banana hammock.
It's a Vorcha stripper line.
Ooh.
The armpit thing is so hot.
Yeah.
I think we've just developed a new business idea is to have cosplay strippers like show up for parties and stuff like that.
Yeah. If that doesn't already exist, I'm disappointed in the world.
Yeah.
Gosh. Guys, we could be rich.
Oh no. I think you've just offended like so many cosplayers out there right now.
No. That's not my intention here. That's really not what I'm getting at.
That was totally my intention.
Oh.
Look at your back already starting shit.
I'm not saying that you take current cosplayers and make them strippers.
No.
I'm saying you take strippers and you make them cosplayers.
Yeah.
You mean strippers don't wear costumes?
See, I was going to say that because they're dressing up as cops and stuff already, right?
Yeah, it's just a different... Now they can dress as video game characters, and I think it would totally work.
They've moved on from the village people and now are going to do video games.
Right. Yep, see, now you're following me.
They're like, this is my favorite bachelorette in the Citadel. And then they start dancing, right?
Yes.
No?
I can see Mistress Chief being a big seller. Peeling off the armor.
And then at the end of the party, I should go.
So we also have some other PAX panel announcements. Hillary, why don't you tell us about the panel that you're going to be on?
So on Sunday at 10:30 in the Corgi Theater... You should come visit me and Mylin and some other people like Melissa and Anna from Reset Transmission. Sean Baptiste and an author named Lacey, who I haven't met yet, who sounds super cool. We're going to be on a panel talking about romance in games. And the title of it is actually Foreplay, Romance and Games. Yay. So come
yay on there too?
Yes. Yay.
Oh.
Yay.
Yay.
Or you can substitute with hooray, you know, okay. Whatever you want.
Hooray.
Yay. So we'll be talking about games and romance and games and more romance and love interests. So it should be pretty fun.
Cool.
Is this panel going to offend me? Am I going to be offended by this?
Probably.
Okay, good. I'll be there then.
Are you guys all expecting marriage proposals at this panel?
You probably will.
Oh, well, that would be kind of tricky, considering I'm already married.
That was the best reaction.
Oh. Oh.
No. I think everyone on the panel, for the most part, is married. So
yeah, I'm just kidding around.
But, you know.
Yes.
You know me, joking jokes.
Jokes.
People forget about their marriages at PAX. That's just what happens.
What?
People just leave their rings at home.
Wow.
Wow.
Key party.
Hey-o.
Wow.
Do you think there'll be an orgy like there was last year?
Let's hope not.
Let's hope not.
Oh, horrible idea orgies are in general.
Well,
not anyone participated in an orgy, just clarifying. But
yes,
apparently last year there was some event.
That's great.
Anyway,
prime.
Other
play,
stuff
in my mouth.
Speaking of events.
Speaking of other events, so at the BioWare base, you can come visit me as well. I'll be there pretty much all the time. All the day long working and doing fun stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we have some really cool things planned for the BioWare base. I can't really give out the schedule just yet, but we will have Raphael Sabarge on hand to do some voice acting stuff and also to sign some autographs.
Awesome.
And we're going to have a photo booth and all kinds of stuff going on. So basically it's going to be lots of panels, lots of discussions, lots of devs to meet, which is amazing. So, yeah, bring your games and posters and comic books and all that stuff. And, yeah, you can get them all signed and have some good conversation.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Excellent.
Excited. Very cool.
And we'll be there hanging out, too.
You will be there hanging out.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Clayton, you're going to be at PAX, right?
Yeah. We're super excited. We're going to do a little guerrilla marketing.
Awesome.
I called them a little late, apparently, because we weren't quite sure this thing was going to come together in time. But yeah, we're going to be there. We're going to be handing out flyers and trying to get people to try out the game. It's definitely the type of game for a PAX person, you know, little live action killing.
Awesome.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, let's take a quick break and come back with all of our reviews. And we'll also talk to Clayton about his game Killing Social. See you in a few. Alright guys, we are back with our reviews and we have a whole lot of stuff to talk about here. The first thing on our list is talking about Clayton's game, because he kind of surprised us a few weeks ago and was like, hey, you know, I've been working on a game in my secret lab in my basement.
In Florida.
In the sinkhole in Florida to create a game. So tell us a little bit about Killing Social, maybe where you came up with a concept for Killing Social and a little bit about the game itself and the process of creating it.
All right. Killing Social is basically a tag, right? Everybody has a target, is given a target, and then in real life, you go around and hunt your friends, okay? It's based off of a game that was developed by these guys in Harvard in the 50s called Assassin, right? Where they actually, you may have heard of it before, they had spoons and everyone would have a card with a name on it, usually a picture. And they'd go around and hunt people. And everyone is in on the game. So the goal is to sneak up on somebody and then touch them in the back with the spoon. And you've killed them. Now, it spawned a whole bunch of other variants over the years. And it's been played on college campuses. And that's actually where I ran into it the first time. I played it in college. And it's a lot of fun. It's so it's creepy, but it's fun.
Okay. The
creepiest part about it is how much fun it is and how it really like gets your adrenaline going. Because you'll be like waiting outside of a classroom for somebody to come out, and there's just something weird about it, and your adrenaline gets going. You're like, I'm gonna kill this guy. And then they come out and you stab them, and then you're like, yeah. The only thing that is even remotely like that in our daily lives is when you're playing any sort of game with a boss battle that you've beat your head against for like, I don't know, an hour, right? I hear the Devil May Cry, or was it Revengeance? Maybe.
Yeah.
I've heard that boss battle is real tough. But when you're down to a sliver of health, and the boss is down to a sliver of health, and like you're giving it your all, and you're super focused, and then suddenly you take him down, it's like that. It's crazy.
Excellent.
Nice.
Awesome. So can you tell us a little bit about the actual mechanics of the game? Because I love the idea of actually going after people in the real world. But how does it actually function? Like what sort of devices and stuff do you use?
Yeah, well, what we do is we were originally going to make an iPhone app, but we wanted to do something cheap first. So an iPhone app is cheap to start developing, but what we decided is the main functionality, which is basically a database-driven web system, can be done just with using a website, and then anybody with any sort of mobile device can use it.
Hmm. Excellent.
So we've built it, really. We started building it, and then we decided that we found this framework called Ratchet that is open. So we can use that, and basically it makes the website sort of function like an app in a way. So you log in with an iOS device, and basically you log in and you have your targets, or if you're hosting, you have the games you're hosting. And you can adjust your targets and your weapons and how many points you have and stuff like that, and how many soul coins you have actually.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. So the actual process of killing someone, I talked to you earlier about the whole mechanics of the game, and there are different weapons and different traps and stuff you can lay. So it is, you can actually get really creative with the way that you hunt your targets. Correct.
Right. Right. There's more to it than just stabbing people, and that's the big difference between the game that we've developed and the game that I played in college is, number one, the hosting is done 90% of the work in the game is done by the computer. We have a database that manages all of the targets, all of the killing, all of the points, and actually points are a whole new system. We call them soul coins. And whenever you kill somebody, you get a soul coin. That allows you to purchase weapons, different types of weapons. Like we have this, the whole thing is sort of ninja themed. So the main way you kill people is with your phone, touching them in the back with your phone. We call it a katana kill.
Awesome.
We also have we also have punji traps, which are these spikes that weren't
you don't
actually
have to lay your phone on the ground or anything, do you?
No. we have stickers. You don't actually have to have stickers. Any sort of tape or anything, you just draw a little skull on it, and that's how you actually lay those traps.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, so there's a whole bunch of different ways to kill people, and there's a whole bunch of different abilities too. You can buy armor so that if you're stabbed with a katana, you don't actually die. You get shuffled back into what we call the live loop, because one of the biggest differences between our game and the old game is, in the old game, when you died, you were done. That was it. You're out of the game. Your fun is over.
Yeah.
In our game, when you die, you become a spirit, which means you can't win the game. But what you can do is you can kill people still. You just can't use all of the gadgets and stuff. So a spirit's first target usually is the person who killed them. So there's this whole revenge aspect.
Oh, awesome.
And it also helps self-balance the system. So if you're an assassin who's made a whole bunch of kills, then you'll have a whole bunch of spirits on you. So it's incredible. It balances.
I can see this being like the biggest thing ever in an office environment in a large building with like a, you know, you know, dozens of people working in the same building. They'll constantly be trying to assassinate each other while they're trying to get their work done. So it's a really creative idea. Yeah, right. They're at the big board table, like trying to stab someone each other with their butt.
Someone tries to kill the CEO.
Absolutely.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, it sounds so much fun, man. And I'm so glad you've gotten as far as you have with it. I mean, it's incredible. How big is your entire team right now? Just to give the listeners a little bit of insight.
Yeah, the entire team is me. I'm basically the creative guy, game design, documents. I did the website, the informative website, which was interesting. I haven't worked with any sort of web development since like 2002. So that was interesting.
Basically, nothing's changed.
Yeah. It's different now. CSS3 is pretty cool. Yeah. Internet Explorer still sucks. I've got a programmer, brilliant programmer, Chris Burkhart. He does all the back stuff. He set up the ASP system. He's the one who does all of the programming for it, make sure all the functions work. I come up with crazy abilities and tools, and he's the guy who makes that stuff happen, and he's amazing. And then we have an artist, a guy named Nick Macaluso, who's done all of the art and is just a phenomenal artist, and he's got a really cool sort of cartoonish style in a way.
Yeah, I like the art a lot.
Thanks. He's brilliant. And it's been just fantastic working with these guys.
So three-person team.
Yes, three-person
team. That is awesome. So, and how long you guys have been actually developing this? And you just, I think this week, said that you went into beta. So how long from concept to beta, how long has it taken you guys?
Well, we've been working together for about 2 years, although we started trying to build a UDK, a third-person UDK action game. And we developed it. It was called Triangulation. And you can actually check out and download a version of it on our website, codecyclone.com. And it's fun. There's a whole wall system, and it's third-person action, and it's got a bunch of fun art in it. But we realized that there's basically no way a three-man team can compete in that arena.
Yeah. The whole shooter, I mean, once you have the big guys building shooters, it's really hard to appeal with a small studio. You know,
right.
It's a real huge challenge.
It's about impossible to try and get something to make. Well, it's not impossible, I guess, but people are far more talented than I maybe can pull it off. But so we decided to go the mobile route and to try and do something that's more small and niche. And I had this idea from college, and I'd actually been running it with some of my students for years, and they loved it. But it was a ton of work on my end to host the whole thing, because I basically used an Excel document, shifted names. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy. But that's how I basically developed the gameplay mechanics for this, figuring out what's fair and what's not fair.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
tell people where they can get involved with the game and get one set up for themselves.
Yeah. So what you should do is you should go to killingsocial.com, and there you can. There's a link at the top right that says "Play now for free," and it is free. It's totally free, and we have a microtransaction system that allows you to buy, upgrade your wallet size so you can use some of the more cool weapons, and also some vanity type stuff, and you can also buy soul coins. So that's our business model. And that's one thing that I'm constantly concerned about, making sure that it's not slimy. Because that's, you know, nobody likes that trying to milk people for money sort of thing. I think right now, if you bought everything, you'd spend maybe $6.
Cool.
Nice. Very cool.
And it's a ton of fun. So you go to killingsocial.com and you can create an account for free. And then you'll have to have... We really, really, really encourage people to use a mobile device. Okay, so we know that it works on all iOS devices that are 3G or newer. And it works on Android devices after Jelly Bean. Jelly Bean and on. We've had problems with Windows phones. We've had problems with earlier, like Gingerbread and earlier Android devices.
Oh, okay.
But you really need a mobile device. Some of my testers try and play it using the desktop, and it just doesn't work because they'll kill somebody, and then by the time they get to log the kill on the system in front of a computer, they've been stabbed or the target killed again. So then the system breaks down because they don't know, you know, they don't know who their real target should be.
Right.
Okay.
Mm.
So, but it's a ton of fun, and hopefully at your PAX event, we'll be able to set up a few games and then.
Oh, sure. Definitely. Awesome. That'd be a lot of fun.
And be sneaky.
We'll encourage people that are attending to download it. Maybe we'll send some links out when we send the official party invite. Maybe we'll put some links in there to say, hey, download this and come equipped and ready to get stabbed.
Nice.
It'll be like Clue.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah. Sounds great.
And
I love the idea.
Nice thing is there's no download. It's just a website you're hitting. So there's Excellent. No download. It's super lightweight.
Awesome.
Awesome. Very cool.
I'm really excited. I think people will really, really take to it.
Well, good. Well, we'll have you on again, maybe after PAX, and we'll talk to you about, you know, how people received it, and we wish you tons of luck. And
thanks, man.
And, it's going to be awesome. I'm super, super happy for you.
Yeah,
cool. Really cool.
Live the dream.
I'm trying.
I know, right?
For real. So let's shift gears over to Citadel, and I realize that everyone in this room is eventually going to play Citadel, so I'm not going to spoil anything about Citadel. I do just have to give props to BioWare for kind of creating the piece of DLC that I think everybody really wanted, and it also kind of creates the ending to Mass Effect 3 that you wanted all along. And I'm not saying that this has no reference at all to the original ending of the game, but it's sort of the fantasy ending that you always wanted your Shepard to have,
like
at the
happy,
end of the trilogy.
Happily ever after kind of ending.
Yeah, like, and there are going to be people that remember this as their true ending and nothing to do with the Reapers or the Fall of Earth or any of that kind of stuff. Because the combat portion's maybe 2 or 3 hours long, and then once the combat portion wraps up in Citadel, you have hours and hours and hours of just, like, fun times with all of your crewmates. You throw a huge party. Everybody hangs out. There's a giant apartment you get that you can decorate, and everyone like dances and tells jokes, and like literally all your squaddies from Mass Effect 1, Mass Effect 2, and Mass Effect 3 are all in the same place at the same time, bantering and having a good time. You can also go out into parts of the Citadel, and they will populate areas of the Citadel where they weren't before, so you can go like hang out in an arcade, and like Zaid will be playing like the claw machine, and he'll be like, I hate this claw machine. This claw machine's a piece of shit. You know, it's hilarious. Like, and they're all over the place, and they're everywhere. Like Matt was in the room when he watched a couple of the interactions between the crew members and I, and there were a couple times where I was literally like dying laughing. Like they were so, so well done.
Yeah.
The banter was so well written. They had so much fun writing the new material that you could just tell the writers were like, you know what, we're going to give the fans, we're going to just basically give them a huge nod and reference all the inside jokes and all the good times people have been having online and all the memes that have been created about Mass Effect. They're all referenced in the DLC. And it is literally just like, you know, 6 hours of fan service, and I couldn't be more happy with it. I logged in this morning just to run around and see if anything else popped up, and there did. You have this you can invite people up to your apartment, and when I logged back in, there were more people that wanted to come to my apartment. So yeah, there's more of that too. More Liara fun times.
Liara fun times.
I wanted to spoil one thing.
Go ahead.
Ash cried halfway through it, and his wife started making fun of him with my wife, and it was kind of hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, well, okay.
Well, don't spoil the moment that you cried, but...
Well, I can kind of spoil it. Well, no, they all made fun of me. It was kind of sad. But it was... So Citadel, absolutely brilliant. I think when everyone in the room finishes it, we'll probably address it with a little bit more... a spoiler-filled review, but mm-hmm. Pick it up. You will definitely get your money's worth.
Yeah.
So Matt,
speaking of your money's worth,
Citadel, Matt was actually at my place, and he was installing SimCity. How did that go, Matt?
It totally installed. It only took about an hour and a half to install to my machine, which was a little ridiculous.
How big is it?
I don't know, honestly. It was just one of those, like, it was downloading patch after patch and then doing this and that, and it just took forever. I told Ash, I said, oh, this is why I quit PC gaming like forever ago, because this is what happens. Like, you turn on the game a day after it comes out, and then it just downloading patch 74 of 83, and you're like, oh, okay. And it's like an hour later, it's like downloading patch 75 of 83. And you're like, Jesus, I just want to play the damn game. So. Mm-hmm. It installed eventually. I was very excited about this game, and then I hit the nightmare that everybody on the internet has been complaining about for the week, which is you can get into one server, but then you couldn't create your city, and then you could get into the tutorial, but then nothing would populate in the tutorial, and it was like problem after problem after problem after problem, and it was ridiculous. And I'm not the kind of person who's like, I bought this game for $60. Like, I deserve to play day one. I understand people have problems. But I was a little frustrated that a company the size of EA was not prepared for the release of a massive game like SimCity. Like, mm-hmm. It's not as if they didn't know there were going to be millions of people trying to hit the server on night number one. You know?
Oh, but like this game? Wait, what?
this wasn't some unknown title, brand new IP that they were like, holy shit, it exploded. It was like, this game has been a massive title for decades. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous that they were not ready for this kind of onslaught. And if you're going to require online, and I understand why they require online in the game now that I've actually been able to play it, but if you're going to require online, then you better damn well be ready for the online experience. You know, like, I don't know how you handle it or how you want to do it, but don't do what you did, which is basically nothing, and just a bunch of people get screwed while they're trying to log into the servers with, like, bad messaging, and it was bad. It was really bad.
It was hilarious because you were trying to log into, like, every place on the planet. You're like, I'm going to log into Congo servers.
Basically, they were putting
I'm going to log into New Zealand and see if I can get in there. Like, yeah, you get in 1 second and it wouldn't let you play.
They basically were saying, like, look, the server location isn't tied to your location. Like, you can log into any server you want to get on and play. Just, you know, like, whatever's open and available. But I mean, the servers weren't even marked as, like, full. They were marked as busy. Like, it was just, it was just a bunch of, like, improper messaging and, like, poorly handled errors, and it just was bad. It was really
like a whole lot of fun. Do you ever get to play, like, actually play?
So this morning I got on and I actually played for a couple of hours, and totally fine. They had two blog posts that they posted, I think, this morning. They are making, like, a sort of mea culpa. If you register or if you activate SimCity by March 18th, you'll get a free EA title from Origin. You can download whatever you want, supposedly. It didn't say it was limited. It literally said any EA title on Origin.
What are you going to get?
I have, like, Origin, and I've never been on it using it. So I'll find something, sure. But I got on this morning, went through the tutorial. Everything went totally smooth. They said something like they increased their servers by 120%. So they're handling the load now. There were a ton more servers. Like, 90% of them were marked as open, working. So, you know, I mean, it's something they should have done, like, a week ago and not a week after the launch of the game, but at least it's working, as a best say for that.
Oh, to be the guy that made that mistake, whoever he may be, or she may be.
I think that's a budgetary mistake, probably a lot higher up than one guy who making it. I think that was like, well, we don't want to spend that kind of money on servers. Let's wait and see what happens. And
I like to think it was a guy with a curly mustache who was just like, save some money, see?
So
what?
What? And I started playing, and the game is absolutely gorgeous and fun and addictive. It's everything that SimCity was when I played, you know, 15 years ago or 12 years ago. I'm loving it so far. The tutorial took about 30 minutes, and then I played probably about an hour and a half of real, like, city-building gaming. They've added so much more intricacy to the cities, and they've taken away some of the things that were annoying to manage. So, like, you used to have to build pipelines and power lines. You remember that, like, in the old?
Yeah.
So now all you have to do is basically plop down, like a water tower for water, let's say, and then anywhere you have infrastructure that is along your roads will automatically get water from that water tower. So like, you don't have to build the infrastructure of pipes and electric lines out. It basically just follows your infrastructure of roads and where you put down different zones.
Oh, cool. So it's a little bit more intuitive, less micromanaging.
So you're not managing like that kind of minute detail, but you are managing things like the Sims actually have needs and wants in your city, and they'll tell you, like, and not in a way like where it's just bar charts, but if you zoom in a little, there'll be like people with bubbles that'll be like, man, I wish trash collection would happen sometime soon, and like my god, like, did you hear about the crime in the city? Like they just start talking and doing things, and you start reacting to those by building more stuff and like getting your city to do more things. And then the online part of it, which I haven't started yet, is you basically start in a section of land that's like a some kind of square radius of land, you know, or square of land. And there's a bunch of different city spots inside of that land. So you build like one big place, and then in that big place you build a city in one little section. And then other people online can join in on your section of area and build their cities next to yours.
Oh.
And then you start pooling resources. So like, if I don't want to build a trash collection place, but I want it to be in a different part of this square area, I can actually buy trash services from that city over there. And then they make money off of me by sending their trash collectors to my city. And then I can, like, you know, sell them some resource that I might have. Like, let's say I have a mine in mind that I can get, you know, ore out of and do things with that. And they need it. Well, they can buy that from me. And then it becomes this real actual place, like how cities actually work. Like, one city doesn't necessarily do all of that stuff on their own. They will buy things from other cities around them, the water and power and all that kind of stuff.
So
it's actually kind of amazing to see all this kind of working together and integrating different cities. We'll obviously revisit it now that I can actually play the game. We'll revisit it later on when I've played more. But so far, I mean, only disappointed in the launch, not disappointed in the title at all.
Cool.
Yeah, it's
good. That is very cool. Well, I mean, hopefully people forget about this. Video game folk are kind of fickle. So after a week of, I think people will eventually forget about the launch woes, hopefully.
Literally the same exact thing happened in Diablo 3. And,
yeah.
And people love that game. You know, it took like 2 weeks before people completely forgot that stuff was wrong and were just playing and enjoying it. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Assuming now they seem to have fixed the problem, this will just pass eventually, you know?
This too shall pass.
Do you think that they do lose any sort of face because of this? Because, well, and I don't know if Diablo's issues were other. I actually, as I said before, didn't have really a chance to play it, but it didn't have the legs that Diablo 2 had. And do you think it's possible that any like sort of bad blood may have turned people subconsciously on it?
Yeah, I mean, of course. I think there was a lot of, I was reading some of the comments to Ash, like the forums that were having, and I mean, it was just people that were just cursing EA, essentially. The weird thing is not a lot of people seemed to be mad at SimCity. They were mad at EA. Hmm. You know, it wasn't like, screw SimCity, this is the worst experience ever. It was like, EA, what the hell is wrong with you? Like, it's that over and over and over and over again. So I think,
yeah, but that always happens.
Yeah,
EA taking it on the chin again, and we'll have to see. But yeah, I think some people will probably just never revisit the game. Mm-hmm. But Ash,
yeah. It was cool. Epic Games did a 4-city tour of states. I think there was one in North Carolina and Orlando, and then a couple in California. And they're showing off Gears of War Judgment, which is the new title that they worked on with People Can Fly, and it's a prequel to the Gears of War series. And they were there showing off the new Overrun mode, which is a new class-based multiplayer mode for Gears of War Judgment. And so they were in town, and their community manager was there, Rackzilla, and he was there kind of promoting stuff and hanging out. And there are a couple of hundred Gears fans that lined up in Orlando, and I got a chance to go down there and hang out and meet some fun folks and play some games. And it was awesome. The whole experience really felt like I was a kid in the arcade again, you know, where you line up and you wait for your turn and there's like all this adrenaline. The way they had it set up is there were four consoles facing another four consoles. So the teams would actually, you'd be looking at your opponent across the table. And it was incredible. Overrun mode is a brand new mode that is exclusive to Judgment. You, as the cog, have different classes. So there's a medic now that can throw down healing packs, and there's a scout that can climb structures and actually snipe from, you know, well, you could snipe in the other Gears games, but now you can actually have a climbing capability, which you didn't have before. And there's an engineer that can lay down turrets and repair structures and things like that. And there's like a heavy class or a soldier class that can comes equipped with like grenade launchers and things of that nature. And it's all about attacking and defending. And the cog are tasked with actually holding down different areas as the locust actually try and destroy the areas. So it's really tactical. A whole lot of fun. If anyone had any doubts if this is going to be a true Gears of War game, since Epic wasn't the primary developer on it, you can kind of put your fears to rest because it's incredibly awesome. I was there for a few hours and got a chance to play a couple times, and it is so much fun and so hectic. There's always this ticking clock. You know, you're trying to keep the locust back or trying to destroy a target, and you're just working together with your team and calling out orders, and you know, really, it's really, really, really tactical and just so much fun. So I'm hoping that you guys get on the Gears of War Judgment train when it comes out, because I know you're still working on Gears 3.
We need to play through Gears 3. I don't think Matt or I have gone through that game at all. So
or Hillary, so good.
Hillary,
I'd like to.
I have a question about the Overrun mode.
Yeah,
right. That's what it's called, Overrun.
Overrun, yeah.
Yeah. So obviously I'm not like a big Gears player, but I do enjoy the game. I remember in Gears 3, wasn't there a mode where we were building structures and like keeping back hordes of enemies?
Yeah. So the big difference now, you were talking about the Horde mode for Gears 3, which is still a lot of fun. Horde mode in Gears 3 was, I think, 50 waves long of enemies that it got increasingly harder, but they were AI controlled. The big difference with this in Overrun mode is the opposing team controls the locust, but they're human players as well.
Okay, I think I missed that.
If you control the locust, you actually control all their abilities. So if you're like a wretch, you can climb up structures and scream. If you're a ticker, you can make yourself explode. And so there's a lot of variety. And, you know, and I think everyone in here loves class-based multiplayer because it is. Yes. There's so much variety to, you know, to playing. So it is a really, really incredible feeling game. The weapons still feel great. I got to try out some of the new guns. They're a lot of fun. So I can definitely see, you know, myself sinking a lot of time into Judgment when it comes out.
Cool.
Is this similar to the old Unreal Assault mode?
I don't know if I actually remember Unreal Assault mode.
Oh, it was awesome. I love that. I love the Assault mode. Basically, one team would be tasked with like meeting objectives, like destroy the generator. And then once you blew up the generator, you could get in a separate door that would allow you to get to the main crystal.
That's exactly what it's like.
Oh,
yeah.
And then you add like the Team Fortress 2 classes on top of it. That sounds awesome. That's brilliant.
Brought that up because it's exactly what you have to do as the locust. Once you destroy one cog objective, a new portion of the map opens up, so the cog have to fall back and defend the second objective, and the locusts are trying to destroy the second objective. So the map continues to grow, and it's just really a whole lot of fun, and it adds just a lot of depth to the Gears series, which I think it was really needing at the time. So
I think Battlefield and Dead Space 2 sort of had similar game modes like that. So that, I think for Gears, that's great. That sounds really awesome.
I can just see if everyone working together on their headsets, you know, a good group of friends, you could have a whole lot of fun with something like this. So
absolutely.
Do you change sides after a period of time?
If you lose as the cog for like one round, you'll switch over and then you'll be the attackers and you'll play as the locust. And it kind of goes back and forth. I think if you win 3 in a row, then the match ends. So it's like best, you know, 2 out of 3 type deal.
Awesome.
Cool. That's just like Assault. I love that mode. Love that mode.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, definitely everyone in this room, we got to pick it up when it comes out and we'll play together.
Can we play Gears 3 first?
Please.
Okay.
I'll play all tomorrow if you guys want to play tomorrow.
I'll have to play Gears 3.
All right. Scott and Hillary, Tomb Raider. I've been hearing you guys moan and groan about how amazing it is.
Why would we be moaning and groaning?
That's a weird way to put that.
Things are
it's so good. It's terrible.
Oh, I'm in so much pain. It's so awesome.
I can't stop playing it. It's
Yeah.
It reminds me of like if you were to turn Uncharted like into a Lost themed video game somehow.
Yes.
Because like pretty much the story is that like
there's a smoke monster.
Yeah, Lara Croft and her team are going in search of treasure and adventure, obviously, and they crash on this island, and the island is inhabited by other people, and you're trying to uncover the island's mysteries while adventuring through the jungles and searching for things, and it's like a straight up adventure title. I mean, for the most part, it's pretty linear. You can go to like you can revisit the areas that you've been to do the collectibles and stuff like that, but for the most part, it's just a really fun adventure game, and it looks really good. I think Hillary's a little further along than I am. What do you think about it so far, Hillary?
Yeah, you know, it's so funny because the marketing of the game definitely did not make me want to play it, and it was mostly seeing the game in demos and things like that made me go, okay, this is actually kind of cool. Now that I have it, it's amazing. I'm probably like 60 to 75% done with the game. Wow. I still have to go back and get some collectibles, but yeah, it's super addicting. It's a gorgeous game. I mean, it's just fantastic. The one thing I will say is that Lara definitely, and it's funny because some of the voice actors actually call her Laura. So yeah, some people are calling her Lara, Laura, Lara. So you're like, wait, it's Laura. I don't know what it is. Anyway, she has so many bad things happen to her. It's just like, it's crazy. But yeah, it's great.
Hillary, you and I had the same kind of feels on this game previous to it coming out, which was like, it just felt weird. We weren't sure what the marketing was doing. We didn't understand why they were demoing certain scenes and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, but I've heard that in context of the game, all of it makes perfect sense and is really good and done very well.
Yeah.
Do you still feel like that or no?
Yeah, I do. I feel like, you know, she's definitely had some really awful things happen to her. You know, at the beginning, I feel like you and I thought it was going to be like a rape sim. Which I was like, yeah, that's not cool.
Jeez. I don't know if I ever felt that.
Wow. Like you said, anyway, any marketing, right?
I don't want to leave you in the
bad
cold.
Press, so good press.
Yeah, I don't want to leave you in the cold, so I'm just going to say, sure, we both felt like that.
No, it just felt like it was like, you know, torture scenes you know,
torture
like
porn, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, no, I think it definitely has a broader context for sure. And those scenes that we saw do fit into the grand scheme, and her character arc is actually really cool. So she becomes, you know, hardened and, you know, becomes more like a hunter, and there's skill sets that you can purchase with skill points. I mean, it's really, really cool. There is a bit of customization. It's just a really gorgeous game. And the one thing that really surprises me about Tomb Raider is I'm pretty far in, and I have yet to encounter a game breaking bug or a bug that I've noticed. I'm sure I've hit some bugs, but
right,
nothing that I've seen, and it's kind of amazing how clean this game is. It's kind of cool.
Other AAA adventure games that may sound like Mermassen's Mead.
Ouch. Rhymes with
Mermassen's Mead.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. I mean, it totally like wraps you in, and you feel like you're playing Indiana Jones mixed with Lost, like Scott said. And Uncharted. It has all of the good things about those all wrapped into one. And Lara is a pretty cool character. I mean, at the end of the day, she starts off kind of like a wimp, kind of whiny. But as you grow with her, she becomes badass. It's awesome.
I think the original marketing was misguided, because I think what they were trying to accomplish and sort of failed at is they were basically just trying to say, hey, this is Lara's origin story. So
right. She's
going to start out like with sort of a weak appearance, and then through the progression of these like trials and tribulations, she becomes stronger in the character that everybody knows today. And I think, I think that's what they were trying to say, but the approach was just really bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, it's so funny because even the voice acting in combat changes. Like, I mean, from the beginning of the game, she's like, oh, you know, like hiding and, you know, shooting, but really quiet, and
yeah,
you kind
like,
of hear
oh my
her
God,
pant.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then like along the way, like right after she gets like a grenade launcher, she starts yelling at enemies like "Die, assholes!" Like it's
amazing.
Oh, that's
so cool.
That's awesome.
It's really, really cool because like the dialogue is really good, like Hillary was saying. So You know, sort of like Uncharted, like it's got like a lot of attention to those details. So, you know, when you're crawling through like a cave, like you can hear her talking to herself, or when she's in combat with other people, like the people are yelling at you as they're running at you and they're saying things. So you can actually kind of listen to what the enemies are saying and react to them in combat.
That's awesome.
She's not really, like when the game starts out, she's not really built for close combat. So you start out trying to keep a distance, and as you become stronger and you level up a little bit, you can start getting in close for kills, and it still kind of has like a frantic close combat feel to it. So
her finishing moves are pretty awesome.
Oh yeah, it's got like a lot of great animations and camera angles and all that stuff.
I'm gonna go out and buy this now. I mean, I've been reading a lot of good reviews, but hearing it from you two seals the deal.
Yeah, I think the other thing that that I like about the design of the game in general is that I like the details, the attention to the details that they put in the game. So, for example, one of the things you collect in the game are documents. So when you pick up a document, you see the text of the document, but it's also narrated too, which I think is cool. So it's not kind of like a throwaway. Yes. It's not like a throwaway thing where you're just like, oh, button through that, I got it, you know. It's also nice that the game, the save system sort of encourages your trial and error and your exploration. So it's never punishing. So if you get to an area where you get a collectible, the game creates a save right there. So it might not save your position, but it saves the fact that you've already collected something. So if you picked up an item and immediately died afterwards, it would start you back, you know, like at a start area, but you would still get credit for picking up that item.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a lot of little details like that. There's also, I also noticed that when you go, Lara does all of the upgrades and like sort of fine tuning detail management from campsites. And from time to time, as you progress through the game, Lara goes to a campsite and she'll start narrating the adventure to you. So like, it's kind of like an inner monologue about what she's experienced so far. And the monologue actually plays as you're going through the upgrade system. So it's
cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. So you'll be like looking at your map and checking out your experience points. And then she'll be like telling the story to you as you're working on something else. So it's not something that has to be done separate from one another, you know?
Cool.
There was even a point in the game where like in the middle of combat, you kind of get a break and you make it to a campsite. And while I'm at the campsite, I can still hear the enemies like talking in the background, like, where is she? We're going to fucking kill her. And like, I'm like quickly going through they're not going to attack me, but I'm like going through the menus. I'm like, holy shit, I need to upgrade. Like, let's get out of here. I got my shotgun. Let's go. You know,
that's awesome.
Well, and another thing, just on to Scott's point about the voice acting and everything else. There's a scene in the game where, I literally like started tearing up. Like, it's that good. I mean, some of the things that happened to her, you'll find out, but it's a really well-written game. I mean, aside from the fact that it's just pure adventure, it has kind of an RPG element to it that it does really develop the characters, which, you know, you can't really customize them yourself, but it's really rich and deep. Like, I don't know. There's not enough good that I can say about this game. It's probably one of the best games I've played in a long time.
Wow.
It's fun to start out.
I'm really happy.
It's really fun to start out like super weak, and then you get a new weapon and you unlock something and you're like, all right, let's do this. It's time to fuck these guys up. And it's awesome. It becomes
totally
really fun. Yeah.
It's interesting. So Crystal Dynamics is, I guess, the team that actually developed this and then published by Square. But did you guys ever play the old Legacy of Kain games? Way back?
Yeah.
Legacy of
PS1.
Kain, Vampire, you'd run around. Yeah, PS1. That was sort of their big claim to fame, was the Legacy of Kain stuff. And they've just been kind of not really doing a whole lot since then. So it's really, I mean, Crystal Dynamics has been around forever, but it's interesting to see them really knock one out of the park, you know? So I'm really happy for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is great. Hillary, I guess maybe the last thing, have you tried the multiplayer yet? Because I have not.
No, I'm just doing single player right now. I do want to try it because I'm sure it's going to be really fun.
My guess is that it's going to be similar to Uncharted's like kind of shoot 'em up mode.
Yeah, we should definitely jump on because I know both of us want to get the achievements.
Deus Ex Human Revolution?
I love that game.
Yeah.
The multiplayer mode was developed by the team that did Deus Ex. So Eidos Montreal did the multiplayer.
Okay. That sounds
awesome.
Great.
Well, that's good. That's some credibility.
It's really, this is like one of those few times where I'm like happy to be wrong. You know, like I'm so happy you guys are enjoying this, because I was going into this game launching like, oh God, I'm really not excited or you know, wanting to play this at all. And hearing that all of my, you know, fears were basically just misconceptions about how they were showing the game.
Yes.
It's good. Like, I'm happy about that, you know?
Yeah, they should really reevaluate that marketing team. Just saying.
Yeah, their E3 fuck up is now like a legend. They're like, and check this out, she's getting her ass kicked.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, why are you showing us this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of getting asses kicked, Matt, how was Oz Great and Powerful?
So my wife,
are you Borat? What happened there?
My wife.
I did that on purpose, everybody. Please stick.
All right.
She is a gigantic Oz fan and actually did a write up on the movie. So go to the site if you want to read a humongous Wizard of Oz fan's opinion of Oz the Great and Powerful. But right now you get a less humongous Oz fan's opinion. The good things I will say about this movie are Michelle Williams and Rachel Weisz, two of the witches from the movie, are fantastic. Mila Kunis is okay for the most part, but not fantastic. And Zach Braff, surprisingly, is wonderful in this movie. Like, he's endearing and funny, and like, his character is done very well. He actually plays a real person in the beginning in the kind of black and white scenes. And then he is the companion monkey that hangs out with the Wizard of Oz while he's walking around. But just done very well, acted very well, super funny, super endearing throughout the whole time. So that's the good stuff.
It lacked
a lot of like emotional resonance is what I would say. There wasn't really any like magic to the movie. There wasn't any like moments where you're like, oh man, like heart tugging moments, which you kind of expect from a story like this and from a place like Disney. And it just fell really flat. And I hate to say this because I'm a big fan of Sam Raimi. He was the wrong director for this movie.
It
was bad. Like, he did a lot of his weird camera tricks from Evil Dead, where there's like weird pans and zooms in on people, and like he would shake the camera to like try to make it feel like, you know, it was gonna be like a terrifying moment, and it just came off as hokey and cartoony, and it just was just wrong. Just felt really wrong. And then, speaking of wrong, James Franco is terrible in this movie. I don't know.
Wow.
I like him as like the stoner buddy friend in a lot of movies. I've seen a lot of movies with him that I think he's fantastic in. This is not one of them. I guess he's okay as like the smug early wizard, but then he's like still the smug early wizard all the way through. Like, nothing changes. You know, he's still like smirky and just kind of like a weird.
What's no the arc. Basic arc of the story, though?
So like, the arc of the story is you follow this character, Oscar, who is Oz, who's like a carnival magician. And he gets pulled into the land of Oz, and there's a prophecy that he is coming to save them from the Wicked Witch. And there's a bunch of kind of twists and reveals that don't really, it's not like, oh my God, it's just they kind of just happen, and you're like, oh, okay. Like, there's a bunch of twists and reveals about how he gets to that point. And then at the end, there's a fight between him and the Wicked Witch. And like, that's the main arc of the story.
So it's pretty much exactly what you may have expected to see.
It is, but like, just not, it just doesn't land. Like, it never makes the landing. Mm. So, this, and the only other thing I want to talk about, because it's surprisingly bad, is the CG. The monkey, like all of the character CGs, the monkey and the China girl, and, you know, I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. There's a lot of art and makeup that was done very well. Like, the real effects were fantastic, and the monkey and the China girl were fantastic. But then all of the scenery CG feels really fake, like super fake.
Wow.
And not in that like magical fun way, but just like fake. Like, there's a scene where he lands. I was telling Ash this earlier after we saw it. There's a scene where he lands is in water, and it's clearly CG'd at the beginning, like clearly CG water. And then the scene like cuts and he's in real water and the water looks completely different. Like, I just don't know how this made it through quality control. It's mind blowing. There's scenes where he's holding the China girl, which is, she's all CG, and there's like visible gaps where she kind of moves or his hand moves and she doesn't with him. It's like things that you notice and you're like, why am I noticing this stuff? Like, it's stuff you should never notice in a movie. And it comes off very weird. And it's also clearly shot for 3D. They do a lot of we were calling them like theme park 3D things, where like the camera, mm-hmm. you know, like stuff gets thrown at the camera kind of stuff. And just not, it just was really a weird movie.
Movie for? Is it for kids or people that enjoy the original Wizard of Oz?
It's got to be for kids. But what blows my mind about that is that we're talking about a 90-year-old movie, you know, franchise, that they're now making one for kids. And I know kids still love The Wizard of Oz, but there's like a huge section of adults that love Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they just didn't give a crap about those at all. So
I made the joke to you yesterday, you know, a prequel for The Wizard of Oz 90 years later, too soon.
Yeah, you know.
wait, the original one was released in like 39, right?
8 years, whatever, 80, 90 years later.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So it's not, after all of that, I know this sounds weird for me to say, it's not a horrible movie. It's not like it's a terrible movie. I just, if you don't want to spend $20 on it, I wouldn't blame you for taking you and somebody else out, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, it's definitely worth a rent, and it's an interesting story to go along the pantheon of like the Wizard of Oz stories. It definitely fits, and it's interesting characters, and watching Michelle Williams and Zach Braff is fun and enjoyable, and like, that was all great. It just was surrounded by a bunch of like, huh, moments. Like, why is that way? Or why are they doing this? You know?
Yeah, I kind of got the impression that Mila Kunis wasn't going to be good in it, just because there was an interview with her and someone asked her, so when you're alone with Ashton, have you guys watched the old Wizard of Oz together? And she's like, no. And I'm like, really? If you don't even like the old movie, why would you want to be in this one?
Because people are giving you lots of money.
And I think the thing that makes that worse is watching Michelle Williams as Glinda really transform into the Glinda that you know from the original. Like,
mm-hmm.
she really starts out as a different witch and then like slowly becomes this like kind of iconic character at the end. And those were like the great moments that you were like, wow, if this movie was full of that, this would have been a fantastic movie.
Yeah. But,
you know, all right. Smirky Stoner Franco, and you get like.
I'm nice. Just imagining his character from Pineapple Express throughout this whole movie now.
I mean, probably not far off. Like, it's just, it's weird. He plays one character, and I don't know why he does it in every movie, but it'd be like putting Matthew McConaughey in as the wizard, you know? Like, it's
oh man.
It's like, ugh. What? So.
I would be totally into that.
Yeah, so that
it's
was
just because you like naked bongo playing.
Yeah, bongo playing.
So if you're,
we should put Channing Tatum in there for you, Ash.
Oh, geez.
If you're a huge fan, maybe go see it. Otherwise, you can definitely wait, but you should still see it eventually. It's a good story. So there you go.
All right, cool.
Come back with some Naquato.
Hi, this is Raphael Sparge. You're listening to the Rated NA podcast at nerdappropriate.com.
So the Naquato today was in honor of SimCity, and it was, what would the name of your metropolis be? That is, if you can get on the servers and start a city.
And just for everybody's knowledge, a Naquato is the Nerd Appropriate Question of the Week. Just saying.
Not a strange little hunchback guy that pops out of the floorboards and kills you.
I love it.
That's the first thing I think of.
Let's call it the Nerd Appropriate Naquato of the Week.
The Nerd Appropriate Question of the Week.
Of the Week.
Oh, no.
All right. So I'm going to lead mine off because I'm going to give you guys the actual name of what I named my section. and then my city that I started. Because it's like a state
and
a
city. Oh, and there's two names now?
Well, I'm going to... It's just because I'm playing. I'm telling you what I actually did.
Okay.
Because I think you guys, will be proud. So the name of my state, if you want to call it that, is Chubby Tree.
Yay! I love it.
Chubby Tree.
And the name of my city is less impressive, but it's Tolly Town. So it's cool. Chubby Tolly Tree Town. And Tolly Town.
Very nice.
Aww.
Those are good names.
But first up, we've got Regina at... Doc Liz. Is she a doctor?
Mm-hmm. Possibly.
Oh my God.
Who said? Mm-hmm. Do you know?
Yeah, no, she is.
Okay.
She's actually going to be coming to our party too.
Can she be like
the
official doctor, and we can ask her questions about things that we need?
Yes. I think
how do you cure colitis?
She's in a field similar to Scott, actually.
Oh. Never mind. Cool. I wanted a medical doctor.
Womp womp.
I'm just. That's amazing.
You should still ask her.
Props to anyone.
Is this a pimple or is this skin cancer?
So she says, Velocity, Game On podcast.
That's actually her podcast, Game On Girl podcast.
Awesome.
Hey, sweet. Awesome.
Yeah.
So she's a fellow podcaster. City and then propped herself, which I'm okay with. Game On Girl podcast.
Or sweet. Maybe Ash put that there.
Did Ash, you put it there?
He did.
I did.
Why do you add things to notes as if they wrote them? It's killing me. Put a different color on it or something.
He made it all caps.
How? That's the sign that he made it all caps? People type in all caps all the time.
He's yelling at you.
So Amanda, hello Amanda at Fluid Fire says, Ogdenville or possibly North Haverbrook. What did I say? That's what I said. You're just, Ash is just
walking with you, man.
She's putting notes everywhere now. Wait. Oh boy.
Can I mute him? Can you mute him out of the podcast right now? Let's do that.
We're going to put Ash in the timeout corner.
So Mr. Slick, also known as Robert Freemering, says, I'm not too creative, so I'd name after cool places like Gotham, The Matrix, Zion, Metropolis, Rivia, or San Diorio.
Reminds
do you know
me...
where San Diorio is? I don't know that one.
I don't know that one either.
It sounds cool.
From The Matrix, I always think about that scene, like the cave dancing scene in the second movie.
That was like my biggest complaint about that trilogy ever created.
Yeah.
Really?
The fast forward part.
Yeah.
Wait, are you a fan of cave dancing, Hillary?
I just liked all the movies, and I liked it when they were underground in the cave, whatever. Yeah.
But they were doing that. They were having like the orgy dance party. Like, you were into that?
Yeah. It was all slow motion.
Yeah.
I like the Ewoks. The Ewoks dancing orgy was my favorite in Return of the Jedi.
Oh, okay.
With the old music.
Yes, with the old music.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I'm going to jump in and say mine before Scott takes it.
There you go.
All right.
If I was to name the city, I would name it after all the poor souls that gave their lives up to the Death Star. I'm going to call mine Alderaan.
Nice.
That was not going to be my answer, but...
Good.
I would not have...
But now he'll steal it.
Yeah.
Next up is Justin Banks at Midtown 583. I don't know if I understand his answer, but I felt guilty not including him. He says Short Circuit.
That was a great movie.
Why not? Johnny Five is alive. Yeah. Why not? It's a place.
Hey, I feel like I am Johnny Five because I read books like
dumb
that.
E-head. I'm just reading whatever's written.
Off the rails.
Wow.
Of course.
So Sea Angel 2012 says, Daling City.
Jushin at Jushin says, The Citadel.
In honor of the Mass Effect DLC. Indeed.
Wilco Web.
Dinka, 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 dinka. Yeah?
Yes.
That was good.
I really missed that music. I loved all like heavy synth stuff. I thought it was fantastic.
I liked
it. It was very atmospheric. When they came in with the orchestral stuff in the second one, I liked it, but I really missed the first music.
Really? Mass 2 is like Suicide Mission, that music. Oh, I still have it in my car, on my hard drive in my car. Like, seriously, I listen to it all the time.
Nice.
Especially when you're driving fast and you're pissed off.
Oh, totally.
Suicide Mission.
Should we keep reading?
So you guys want to keep talking about music for the rest of the day?
All right. No. Wilco Webb. At Wilco Webb says Dystopia.
I was just kidding, by the way.
Yes, I think I did think of an answer for this question. Now that I see the word dystopia, I think I would ironically name my city Brazil after the 1985 nice. Movie.
The dystopic movie?
Yes.
Not is after that... the tree of origin?
Huh?
Not after the country?
Not after the country, but after the movie. In that creepy-ass theme song to the movie, Brazil. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Do not remember it, no.
Oh my god, it's so creepy. It's like... it's kind of like bossa nova music, but with like dark overtones, so it has a totally creepy feeling to it. I'll probably put it in. So just pretend like you heard it and go like, yeah.
Oh, I remember that now.
Well, yeah. That is creepy. Yeah.
That's right.
Great. See what
that's
I mean? Great. Totally creepy.
Awesome.
Okay.
What I mean, that too.
At Tasman on Twitter says, I wasn't overly creative. Tassopolis.
I love it.
She's supposed to bring us cookies to the party, by the way. So prepare cookies.
I feel like our special guest should say the next one.
All right.
The Coles, Michael Coles?
Mm. Yes.
Yeah, he went out on a limb with Gotham.
he is a Bat fan, that Coles.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I don't have a good one myself, actually. I guess I was thinking Serverland. maybe it's too soon.
It's poignant.
Serverlandia.
I wrote down a couple. I'll go ahead and the first one I wrote down was called Troll Bridge.
Okay.
Because I mean that's you can't get a better town name than Troll Bridge.
Yes.
Troll Bridge. The other one I wrote down was Taintsville.
Taintsville.
Perfect.
Because there actually is a Taintsville in Orlando, and every time I drive through it, I say, "Really?
Crazy.
Is your town really called Taintsville?" So I said, "Why not?" No, that was it.
I think yesterday I came up with like Bonerville. That was my first.
Wow!
There you go. I got a laugh. Okay, so Bethany, friend of the podcast, Bethany says Westmoreland Land.
No, that's not. Is that Bethany?
Yeah.
We actually don't know who's in charge of the private Westmoreland account. It could be Bethany.
Well, private.
There is.
But then weirdly, she seconded herself and said, yes. I second this. Westmoreland Land is the place where dreams come true.
So there is a character in Mass that there is a private Westmoreland.
I love it.
Yes. It's the girl that guards the door on Normandy in Mass 3.
Mm. Oh, the one. Yeah. The load girl.
Yeah. You know what? I really wish they'd bring back Hillary.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if Bethany would like you referring to her as the load girl, Clayton.
Whoa.
Sorry. Load girl. It was nice. It's better than an elevator. She is way better than an elevator. I'll give her
That's
that.
True. That's true.
Completely a non sequitur. Having gone back to play Mass 1, did you notice that Jennifer Hale is the voice of the Normandy VI in Mass 1?
I did not notice that.
Yeah. No. Equalizing interior pressure with exterior atmosphere. Long.
Oh, I love that.
The commanding officer has the deck.
They couldn't just hire someone else to do the
voice. Presley stands relieved. Yeah, so next time we have her on, we need to have her do her Normandy VI. Because I think
I'm
that's
sure
great.
She'll love doing that.
It's really cool
now
because
this.
I've played Mass 1 like 8 times, so I would just love to hear her do it again. That's a personal request.
Absolutely.
Okay. So Carlo at Platinum Fist says Clarksville with a plethora of train stations.
Because it's the last train song, everybody.
Nice. A veritable Everybody's cornucopia. Like...
Plaris Igoris. Is that how I say that?
Yeah.
Says appendicity.
Or appendicity?
Appendicity.
Appendicity.
Sounds like appendix.
Appendicity.
Appendicitis.
Get it? Appendices?
Hey,
I was going with appendicitis.
Yeah. Appendices. I get it. I think
I'll take it.
All right.
And last, but definitely not least, Hillary's going to say it.
Okay. Yeah. So Kittler C says Otisburg.
Is that a reference to something that sounds familiar?
I don't know what that
Wait,
is.
Wait, did everybody go?
Otis Redding.
Did you? Yeah, I think everyone did.
Because last week I got skipped.
What?
Did you?
Uh-huh.
What was our question last week?
Oh, I don't remember. I just remember that afterward. I'm like, hey, wait a minute. I didn't give my answer.
I don't remember what it was. I just remember that I'm pissed.
I'll tell you what, Hillary, just pretend, just give us an answer to any question right now. Just any answer to any question.
Endor.
There you go. Thank you. That's perfect. Good answer. I like it.
We'll splice that in.
Yep. All right, guys, that brings us to the end of episode 96 for the Reddit NA podcast. Huge shout out to Clayton Donnan for joining us today from Code Cyclone to talk about Killing Social. Thanks, Clayton.
Thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate you guys helping me pop my podcasting cherry there. It's pretty awesome.
It is our pleasure to make you a man.
Nice. Thanks, mister. I appreciate it.
Oh, that's
crazy. Oh, wow. Yeah.
to get you all grown up.
Oh, boy. And Clayton, where can our listeners find you and your game online?
Killing Social on Facebook at / Killing Social. You can find us on Twitter at Killing Social. And you can find us on Tumblr at Killing Social Game. And we also have a G+ that's Killing Social. And that's, and you can find me on Twitter, Clayton Donnan.
Sweet.
Thanks.
Awesome. So everybody go check out Killing Social online and become friends with them on Facebook.
Yeah. I guess I need lots of followers. I'm very new to the whole social media thing. So you can be the first or close to the first.
Awesome.
Besides my wife.
Also, we'd like to give a pre-shout out to Julia Voth, who we spoke to recently, and she will be appearing on episode 97. Of course, she is the model for Jill Valentine from the Resident Evil series. She was in the movie Bitch Slap, and she is currently in a web series called Project Sarah, which you can find on IGN Start, and it's going to be totally awesome. As always, give some love to Jimmy Henson, Big Giant Circles, for our theme song. Please check out his Bandcamp. That'd be super cool. As always, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and Goodreads at Nerd Appropriate. And you can email us, for those of you that do email, at Scott, Matt, Hillary with one L, or Ash at nerdappropriate.com.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week.
Later.
Peace.
Guys, ready to start performing?
Hey. Sure.
Performing?
Oh, sorry.
Ah, welcome back to Reddit NA.
Old Cliffy B stuff.
Why can you play that? Why can you play that?
Melodia?
Step right up, kids. We're not appropriate.
You should totally use that.